fine crouton.
It's Word Salad with Amelia Discreet, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Amelia Discreet. How are you going there?
Hello.
Hello.
Did that song say Lie Still Daddy?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think that's one we can work out in our own time.
Wash over you.
Exactly. Waves of noise. What words are we talking about?
Today, we're going to be talking about names.
Names. The suspense. Oh my god. Names.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, a rose of any other name, would it smell like whatever
roses smell?
You know, the problem of reference, Willard Van Orman Quine's Word and Object. We're not gonna be talking about any of that. None of that.
Just
we're gonna
names.
Be talking about personal names and a broad overview of the kind of the trends in English naming. Do you know where your name comes from?
I think it's a Hebrew name, maybe?
Yes, do you know what it means?
No.
It means you, like a sheep. Yeah.
Oh, great. That's exciting. That's great. Thanks, Mum and Dad.
Zoe, do you know about your name?
It's Greek.
Yeah.
It means life.
Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, see, that's way cooler. Just a bloody sheep over here. Shout out to all the Rachels. There's always another Rachel came up to me once and said, you're the other Rachel in a room. And I was like, that's true. There's always two Rachels in any given room. So shout out to all the
friends.
Other Rachels in the room.
Okay, so let's do the little time machine. We're going back to the first 1,000 years. Oh, this is a confusing way to say that. We're going back before 1066, basically.
Okay.
Mm. And English names are mostly Anglo-Saxon. So Goodwin, Wulfsieger, Doda, Gwenhilde.
Cool.
or more recognizably, Elwin, Chad, Cuthbert, Edgar, any of these?
Yeah, those are sounding more normal.
Audrey. My grandma was called Audrey. Edith, Ethel, Hilda, Mildred. So they're mostly like Scandinavian or like Old English Anglo-Saxon.
Got you.
But as is... English is weird. We don't have a lot of English names. Because basically in 1066 there's the Norman invasion. And very quickly everybody is like, I don't actually like being called Wolsey.
Why not? It's a great name. Catchy.
I don't like being called Gunhilda. I want to be called, you know, Robert.
Much more sensible. A sensible name.
Or Maud. Or Hugh. A lot of these have survived as kind of like posho names. Like from to me, Beatrice, Cicely.
Yeah, they're quite posh names, eh?
Yes. So we get a lot of European names with... it's like the French version of broadly European.
Okay,
like,
so we had all these...
like German, French, that kind of thing.
So we had these Anglo-Saxon names, then the Normans rocked up, and then we suddenly were calling ourselves French names.
William. Richard. Yes.
I mean, these are names we still use, though, so they've persevered, evidently.
They have persevered. And so...
couldn't say the same for Wolvesy.
I think it's actually Wolsey.
Oh.
I think you'll find.
Yeah.
Put some respect on the name.
And so actually what ends up happening is a lot of those old Anglo-Saxon names, like Wolsey, end up being surnames.
Oh.
So you'll be called, like, Richard Wolsey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is all good. So the next big thing that happens is the influence of the Catholic Church.
Ooh, here
and
they
so
come.
Suddenly everyone is getting named after saints. So Rachel, you might have been called Richard.
Richard.
Yes, or Philip maybe.
Cool.
Because they did not gender differentiate saints' names at this time.
So what time are we talking about
this
here?
This is kind of the 13th century.
Okay.
Yes, it's very interesting.
Be a Phil.
So you get this weird thing happening where all of the parish records are in Latin.
Right.
And so the names are recorded in Latin, which means they are gendered. So you get Nicola, Philippa, Roberta for your child that's been named after a cool saint.
Yeah. Mm.
But in real life they will just be known as Philip,
right.
Nicholas,
right.
Richard, Robert. Yeah.
So,
and it's not until much later that we adopt the Latinized
Yes, I
gendered
have
gendered versions of names.
I have a question about the Latin for you. So when you say the Latin gendered version of names, is that because the end of Latin words denotes the gender? Is
yes,
that correct?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Just checking. I can remember my year seven basic Latin class or something.
But yeah, so everyone's being named after saints, who are importing more and more bloody European names, because there's all these European, there's like cults around saints, so you get Barbara, Martin, Valentine.
I like Valentine.
But then...
What about Barbara and Martin?
Nah.
But then the European world splits in two.
Uh-oh.
There's the great schism, and Protestantism comes.
Oh!
And everyone is like, oh...
Can't be called Nicola anymore.
Oh, I hate Catholics. And also I want the Bible in English, which, oh, controversial.
That one...
Was that a mistake? Who could say? But so part of this is a move away from... So Catholicism had an emphasis on New Testament names.
Yeah.
So there was like... oh, God, am I going to get... Am I okay to say that in medieval Catholicism there was a cultic worship of Mary? That's probably fine to say.
I don't even know what that means.
Mary was an extremely important figure.
Okay, yeah.
And was revered at a high level. And
yes.
So a lot of people were called Mary.
Yes.
And so when Protestantism comes along and they're like, it's all about God. Saints are bad. Mary is, she's fine. She was
a cool
mum, but she's not all
not
that
a regular
and a
mom.
Bag of potato chips. This is a very, like, very brief overview of what Protestantism was all about. But so they start drawing Old Testament names.
Okay.
Zipporah.
Oh,
Abraham,
like that.
Zechariah. That kind of thing.
That flavor.
And so we get an influx of names like these. It's yes.
And Zechariah is a strong name.
Zechariah is really good. But then Protestantism goes too far.
We need some stings.
There
in
are gonna
here.
Be some religious historians listening to this and they're gonna be shaking their heads. So basically Puritanism.
Yes.
We know a little bit about Puritanism, right? That
they didn't like Christmas.
They didn't like...
They did not like Christmas.
They didn't like anyone else, really.
Okay.
And they all went... And a lot of them just went moved to America so that they could be free to religiously persecute people.
Oh,
my God.
The land of the free to religiously persecute.
But so this is where we start...
Wore some good hats, though. Good hats?
Yes, good hats. So we start getting names like Fear God, but more...
Wait, these are Puritan names.
Yes.
So it's Fear God, No Christmas, Birthday Suck.
Fear God Ashby.
But more recognisably, during this period, you get a lot of virtue names.
So is this where we get your chastity?
Prudence, chastity... Verity, faith, hope.
And those are, I guess, names that you do associate with a lot of American English names as well. There is a lot of that, more of that in America than you get in the UK or in other colonized spaces.
Yeah, it's interesting. So that, like, the tremendous effect of America on naming conventions is, one, virtue names, two, weird first name double barrel names. I don't know why they do this. Like Mary Ann.
Ah, okay.
Peggy Sue.
Peggy Sue, exactly. We're all quoting from popular songs. and also naming people after places.
Okay.
So Chelsea, Iona, names like this. Florence.
India,
yes. This is kind of... It's not strictly an American thing, but it is more popular in America, and they get the kind of ones that stick a bit more.
Okay.
Because people have been named after places forever, but calling someone Carlisle is not really... If you met a child and their name was, you know, Christchurch, you'd be like, huh?
Hello.
But if their name's Chelsea, you're like, yes, that's fine and normal.
Yeah,
I accept that.
We're fine with that one, yeah. Not many kids out here, you know, with the name
Christchurch.
Christchurch.
So
Dunners.
in the like late 18th and the 19th century with the I'm going a bit late. It's just before that. It's like in the late 17th, 18th century, you get the kind of the Enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks science is great. Studying the natural world is a way to honor God and explore the beauty of creation.
So how do the names come into that one then?
Everyone starts getting called Heather and Lily. and
Fear God,
Violet
Lily
and
Ashby.
Daisy, and also names from precious stones, so Beryl.
Is Beryl,
Beryl
a stone?
Yes.
Oh, I've literally only ever thought of it as someone's lovely grandma.
No. There were two people in my family called Beryl, and one was older and one was younger. And when I was a kid, I would call them Old Beryl and Young Beryl.
Oh,
no.
Oh, that's so rude.
Oh, dear.
Marigold, Poppy, Holly, Ivy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so one thing you might have noticed with these more recent names is that we're getting a lot of feminine names and a lot fewer male names. Male names are very stable.
They've just stayed
the
same.
We've had Johns for pretty much ever. As far as I can tell, a lot of it is to do with inheritance.
Is that because you pass on your name to your son?
Yes, and your son is the person who's carrying on your
legacy.
Your legacy. And so,
but girls, unimportant, call them people.
Call them,
yeah.
Beryl.
It's like, so in my family, everyone's called John Berry.
Oh, okay.
My brother is called John Berry. My granddad is John Berry. His father was 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 John Berry.
That's a lot of John Berries.
Yeah. My dad, for some reason, not John Berry. I don't know why how that happened, but my dad was like, I will not let this continue.
Oh, Grizzy's just texting, just to pivot back to stones for a second. Emeralds are beryls.
Hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Thanks,
okay.
Grizzy.
I don't know very
that.
Much about precious stones.
Neither do I, so appreciate that one. But back to John Berry's.
Yes. So family names are much more important for men, traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And you get this thing happening as well where... last names will become male first names. So names like Bruce were originally last names and have switched over. Bruce, Douglas, Graham, Keith, Leslie, Stuart.
Hmm. These have all become first names.
Those have become first names because the traditionally the firstborn son is carrying on some kind of lineage. The mother might want her maiden name. If he's expecting some inheritance from the mother's family, they don't just want him to be called...
Got to grease up here a little bit.
Yeah,
so.
They don't just want him to be called John Berry if his mum is like Susan Bruce.
So it'd be Bruce Berry.
Yeah, maybe Bruce Berry. So the Bruce name can continue strong and proud. If he's going to get the Bruce money, he needs the Bruce name.
Okay.
And so you get Douglas becoming a first name. You get Keith becoming a first name.
Wow, that's so interesting. And
yeah.
That is relatively recent in this big scheme of things that you've just read out to us. We're talking the what, 1700s?
We're talking, a few hundred years ago. So
okay.
Kind of like, yeah. Basically, kind of from about Shakespeare onwards, you get a lot of that kind of thing happening, and so you have this like wild instability in female names because people are just calling them whatever's trendy.
Yeah, okay, I got
nice.
It. Yeah,
yeah, and so this is why as you get more recent, the male names are just still stuck back in the deep past with John and Chad
and all those classics,
and we're getting people being called Lily and. I don't know, Fern.
Love those names. I've really enjoyed this, Amelia Discreet. This has been a very interesting wander into the weird and wonderful world of English names and the lineage of those.
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing it to us this morning.
Hey, anytime. Vinaigrette originally referred to small vinegar.
Word salad with Amelia Discreet on 95 BFM.